Welcome back to Art Supply Insiders. My name is Jeff Morrow, and we're very excited to have Dee Silver back for a second time. Dee is the president of Silverbrush Limited, and Dee's going to be talking to us today about the care and cleaning of brushes. How are you doing today, Dee?
I'm great. I hope all of you are. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. It was a lot of fun. We got to do a lot of things. I hope you did too, and everybody listening did.
Mostly, I got to rest, so that was high on my agenda.
Okay, if that was high on your agenda, then so be it. That's great news.
So today, let's talk. It seems like we can talk about three things, like the preparing your new brush for use. We can talk about cleaning brushes, and we can talk about the preservation and storage of brushes. So why don't we start out with preparing your new brush for use? What are the things that our audience should be doing when they get a new brush?
So sometimes it really depends on where they actually bought the brush. So if you go to an art supply store, very oftentimes the sizing is already brushed out of the hair. That's different than they bought it online, because if they buy it online, it's probably in the prepackaged shape, and they'll have to take the sizing out. So the first thing you have to do when you get a new artist brush is take the cap off. A lot of these brushes come with plastic caps. The first thing you have to do is take the plastic cap off and then throw it away. The plastic cap is only for one thing. It's to, from getting from the manufacturer's floor to your artist's studio. That's it. That's the whole function of that plastic cap. I've seen many, many people who take time and they want to get the plastic cap back on again, and they think it's going to help the brush and keep it well. It's not. It's actually the opposite. Because what can happen with a plastic cap is, number one, you get hair stuck and you jam it in and it goes into the, you know, on the side of the ferrule, and you think, oh my goodness, I've broken the brush, or I've destroyed the hair or something like that, which you haven't, by the way. You have not destroyed it, but it is a very frustrating thing. So that's one very important thing that happens. And the second thing that happens very often is people will put the brush in wet, and you can get mildew. You can get mildew. Now, it does not destroy the brush. You can just take the mildew off when you go to use it. But it is ugly. It's a gray, furry kind of thing, sort of like mouse hair almost. Mm. And you don't want that. So that's a couple of reasons why you should just throw away that plastic cap. By the way, if you have done that and you've got the hair that goes down on the side of the ferrule, what you can do simply is this. Take the hair. Do not cut it. Never cut an artist brush. Certainly not a silver brush. Don't cut it. Take it. Put the hair that's going all over kind of crazy into boiling water. Just dip it in very quickly, and you'll see the hair will relax. It'll go back into its original shape. Just pull it down very gently with your hand, other hand, and you've got a brush that's willing to work again. So it's not all lost. It's absolutely usable, but that first preparation is very important. So you want to take out take off the plastic cap. You want to take out the sizing. Now at Silverbrush, we use a vegetable sizing, and the reason why we do that is so that it looks like a really nice package when it goes out of our manufacturing floor. So it can be very heavy in the brush. It could be very stiff. The brush is much stiffer than you thought it was going to be. That's because of all the sizing that's in it. Very simply, just go put it in clean water and just swoosh it around. If it's giving you a hard time, it doesn't want to come out, then put a little bit of like ivory liquid or something on your hand, rub it, and just put it under the water, cold water, and it will come right out. You can do that for hog bristle. You can use that for sable. You can use that for any synthetic fiber. And they all work exactly the same. So the first thing you want to do is take the sizing out of it. Now, it depends on if the brush is a soft hair. What we call a soft hair is something made out of goat hair or something made out of maybe a sable or very soft hair, where sometimes you have the annoyance of that stray filament that comes out when you're painting. So if you go directly from buying the brush to painting, you might have some difficulty with these issues because, number one, you want to get the sizing out and you want to clean it up, and then you want to look at it. So before you you actually use the brush, what I'm suggesting is you should do something called knifing. Knifing is a very, very simple process. You take the back of a butter knife, and that means it's a flat back. It's not the sharp. And just gently tug it on all of the hair, especially the goat hair at all. And you'll see that you'll get little loose hair, and you just put it, you know, put it away. That loose hair would have gone into your painting and, you know, caused all kinds of grief and aggravation for you, because then you have to get a tweezer and all that kind of stuff to get it out. But the important thing here is to remember is not to tug it very hard. Do it very, very gently. And it's the back of a plastic butter knife. And it really prolongs the wearability of the brush. You feel like you've really got a good brush. Nothing is wrong with it. You'll see very, very, at least silver brush. I'm always talking about silver brushes. You'll see very few hairs actually come out. So that's the best way to prepare a brush. And, you know, it could take 10 minutes of your time to do all these things, but it's well worth it in the long end, long run, because it'll last that much longer. Now, I have had people ask me, can you do that with synthetic fiber? And the answer is sure, but you're not going to have that problem with synthetic fiber, because it's a completely different species. And, you know, basically you put that in, it's a extruded plastic, and it's going to be held in the ferrule very strong with the epoxy and then the crimping. So that really won't happen with synthetic fiber. Generally, that happens with a natural fiber.
So tell me, why is it when I buy, or when our audience buys a new brush, why do hairs come out? Because it seems like hairs shouldn't come out.
So by its very nature, okay, so it's not going to happen with synthetic brushes because of the very nature that you can mold it together. Mm. And you can glue it together very easily. And that's not going to happen with synthetic brushes. If it does, then you probably have a Monday morning brush. You know, somebody didn't do the job of the epoxy with inside the ferrule. Mm. It is not unusual to happen with natural hair. Natural hair is very, very fine. It's extremely fine and very, very thin. And so capturing that hair into it actually goes into glue. It should be glued. Sometimes they don't capture all the hair, and it's very lightweight, and it may not even be long enough to be captured. So that maybe it's some of the shorter length hairs. So when you're doing the knifing, you'll see those shorter hairs will start pulling out. Remember, we're doing it very gently. We're not ripping it apart. We're trying to do it very gently. In a silver brush, it is not a defective brush if a couple of hairs come out with natural hair. It's just the nature of the way the hair is. It's very fine. Sometimes you get a shorter length out than the longer length out. And, you know, that does happen. But it's not frequent. So if it happens a lot, then there really could be something wrong with the brush. from what I've seen over the years, that happens consistently with a manufacturer that has had a problem in their warehouse. Either the warehouse is exceptionally dry, exceptionally cold, and that tends to shrink the epoxy, and you can have hair coming out from that. We heat our warehouse in the winter, and we tend not to have that issue at all. But, you know, it can happen. But
so it happens. So our audience doesn't need to freak out if they see some brushes come out and don't need to return it immediately. It's just part of the nature. Yeah. It's some of the hair. Yeah.
The hair. Right. And, you know, basically, look, if you have a couple of hairs that come out, you're okay. But if you see a whole side come out of a brush, that's a defective brush. You know,
Makes perfect sense.
Someone came up to me at a consumer trade show once and showed it to me. And I went, well, you know, it missed the epoxy glue that was inside. Then it missed the epoxy that was in the ferrule. And you have a defective brush. It can happen.
Makes perfect sense. So now it's a brand new brush. We've taken the cap off. We've taken the sizing out of it, and we've used it on our whatever we're doing, whatever we're painting. Mm-hmm. What are the tips that you can offer in cleaning a brush that has been used?
Well, there's a couple of really important issues here. So what happens after you have a long painting time is here's a couple of tips for you. Don't ever leave a brush in water for any extended period of time or any kind of solvent, anything at all. The moisture is the enemy of a brush, okay? Because what happens is it can seep into the hair, it goes up in the ferrule, and then it starts cracking the handle. And people get really very upset when the handle starts to crack, not realizing it may have been something that they were doing in the studio. They didn't realize it, and look, this is what happened, and they're very aggravated about it. So that's really one of the, as you're painting, don't leave it in water. So you get a phone call or you have to go to the bathroom or going to get lunch or whatever. Take the brush out of any moisture and just leave it flat on your table, on your work table. That's the best advice. Okay. That's in between sessions. Then what you want to do is you want to clean it. So what happens to brushes when it's being used on a canvas is very often the paint goes into the ferrule. So that's a real bugaboo because, you know, that's what starts to make the hair go crazy, even though you say, well, I cleaned it and I did all of this. And look, the hair's going all over the place. 9 times out of 10, there's paint in the ferrule. What is the paint? The paint could be oil color. It could be acrylic color. Rarely is it watercolor because watercolor is just colored water, as it says, and it just flows right out.
But now, before you go on, yeah, hang on just a second. Let me ask you this. So you used the term ferrule. So the ferrule is that piece that's between the handle and the brushes. Is that what a ferrule is?
There's three parts to every brush. So there's the head, which is what we call it, and that's the part with the hair. So the hair can be, you know, natural hair or synthetic hair. And then there's the part it fits into, that's the metal part, that's called the ferrule. And then there's the handle. So you've got three parts. I use them interchangeably, obviously, because I've been doing this for a very long time. So what happens in the ferrule is where all the action is. Okay, that's where all the action is. Whether it's going to last a lifetime or it's just going to fall apart, all that action is in the ferrule itself. So it's, if you look at the ferrule, you're going to see that, so they're painting with this, say, hog bristle brush, and that oil color goes into the ferrule. That's at the tip where the hair goes into the ferrule. That creates the problem of the hair flying all over. And they say, okay, now what? How am I going to get this out of here? And depending how long it's been in the ferrule, that's, you know, that gives them the opportunity to clean it off. Do try and get the brush to have the head down when you're drying the brush, because if you have the head down, then moisture will flow out. The biggest problem that people have is when the paint goes into the ferrule. 9 times out of 10, they're putting their brush handle first into a cup or some sort of holder, and the moisture goes right down and the paint goes right down. And that's where it really starts to create its problem. So you want to do just the opposite. You want to try and let it dry with the head down. So there's lots of tricks for that. You know, you can take another brush and get the back of the handle up and let the head flow down. Or you can use an ashtray. I use when I do my Facebook Lives, I'd use an ashtray, and the old ashtrays, which no one should be smoking anymore, so you might as well put it to good use. my brother-in-law gave me a couple of beautiful crystal ashtrays, and that's what I use for drying the brushes when I'm demoing. And basically what you can do is you can lay a brush over two of the cigarette holders, and then you put the other brush down, and you get the back up, and you get the head going forward. It's not touching anything, but the moisture's flowing out. Now, that's how you can preserve your brush. So it's that paint that goes in the ferrule that gives you the most problems. How do you get it out? Let's go back to the original thing I talked about. Get a cup of water, put it in the microwave for about 2 minutes, 2 solid minutes. And then it's going to be bubbling. It's going to be really hot. Don't touch it, okay? Just use the handle. Put that brush into the cup. Not long, just for a couple of seconds, but do it midway up to the ferrule, and you're going to see that the paint inside is going to start to melt. That's going to start to melt, and you're going to have rainbow colors coming out. Get a clean, non-lint cloth and start pulling that color out. That will make it a lot faster. if it's more than a year old, especially with acrylics, good luck with that because, you know, it's just dried in there. It's going to be brutal to get it out. Try and get to cleaning your brushes as soon as you possibly can, because you can really have them for years and years and years. I recently had an email from a customer, a very satisfied customer, who bought one of our Grand Prix, which is a hog bristle brush. Nothing is left on the handle. She just knew it was ours from the colors of the handle, because it's a beautiful green and a copper ferrule. And, you know, she was talking about it and she said, you know, she does exactly what I told her to do, and she's still using it. And that's because she lets, you know, the hair, the moisture flow out, you know, of the hair. So it's, you know, these are just tips and tricks. They don't cost you anything, and it can preserve the life of the brush. And if you've spent, to me, if I spent $30 or $40 on a tool that I use in my studio, I would want to preserve it.
Yes, and, absolutely.
You know, I think it's very important taking the time. It doesn't take very long, but it is really important.
So, I mean, really, there's three types of things that you can use your brush with. It'd be an oil, it'd be an acrylic, and it'd be a watercolor, generally speaking. Do you clean all three of those exactly the same way, or do you clean them differently?
Well, obviously, if you're using oil color, you need a solvent-based cleaner to take off the oil color. Okay. So that's, you know, one of the many odorless solvents that you can buy at the art supply store. I never, ever recommend going into a big box store to buy it, because that's the worst thing you can do. They don't have a purity that the art supply companies do. They have a lot of harsh chemicals in it. And it, if you're using a synthetic fiber, it could really melt it. It could really melt the synthetic fiber. It's as simple as that. And That's the death knell of a synthetic brush. If you do that, cut yourself off. Yeah. Now, what happens is you start seeing the little hair starts to crunch up when you put it in solvent, if it's a synthetic. And I've tried to get this, you know, I've tried to do everything I can, but I couldn't clean it out. So do not use a harsh solvent when you're using a synthetic brush and an oil color.
Okay. And with acrylics, is there a tip on best ways to clean acrylics?
Well, acrylics are a water base, so you can use any of the anything that's a water base. You can use Murphy's oil, you can use Master's cleaner, you can use Master's cleaner on the oil base also. You can use you know, an ivory liquid type of thing. And as long as it's not a detergent, and as long as it's not harmful. Over the years, I've actually liked the putting a little bit of conditioner on the brush head, especially when it's an animal hair. It, you know, it keeps it moist. But you got to make sure you wash that out before you go and paint with it.
Gotcha. So we've prepared our new brush. We've now cleaned our brush. So talk a bit about the preservation and the storage of it. How should we keep these things so that they stay clean for years and years and years?
Well, so you've gone through taking the paint off, and basically that's getting some sort of a cloth or paper towel or something, and you've taken off all the excess paint. And then you've used whatever cleaner you're going to use. And a lot of times people use oil brushes. They use the cleaners to get it off, and then they also use the soap, like the General Pencil Master's Cleaner or the the Murphy's oil. They like that. And so now you've got a very clean brush, and you want to store it. What's really important to remember with animal hair is that, depending on the animal hair, it's very prone to parasites. So depending on where you live, if you know that you are in an area that has a lot of little parasites, if you get a lot of moths, if you get a lot of mosquitoes, you know it's in your neighborhood, you want to protect your brush from that. So you want to store it in a very cool, you want to store them in a very cool, dry area. A lot of people I noticed in their workshops, in their artist studios, they have flat files. And in the flat files, they put down some sort of, moisture barrier, like a paper towel or something like that. And they put the brushes in there to dry. But maybe also if you put some sort of moth resistant, what we use here is some cedar blocks. I also was able to find some cedar chips. So with our natural hair, our sables and things like that, we have them very well protected against, you know, little parasites coming into our warehouse because our dock doors are open all summer long because we're going to get some circulating air in there. And so you want to put something that's a parasite resistant. And I can't tell you one thing or the other. I mean, you know, don't put it too close to the brushes because the brushes will absorb its smell. Put it in a sort of like a distant area, not too close. Give it a little bit of breathing room, but cool and dry.
So when I look in a lot of artist studios, they have tons of brushes sitting in cans, you know, all around right. there. Is that a bad way to store a brush? Should they not do that, or is that okay?
Well, it's the same problem I described before. So they're sitting up in a can, and especially in the summertime, they're going to be subject to parasites. But the other thing that's going to happen is you're probably letting it dry like that, so the moisture is going to go into the ferrule. So you're immediately going to start having the issues. So if you don't have sufficient area to let your brushes dry flat, try and do them a little group at a time and let them dry on your some sort of flat surface in the studio. And then you, once they're all dry, then you can put them up in the cans. I know they look lovely and they look very artistic on the, you know, there was a program not long ago, well, a couple of years ago now, John Howard Sandon had all his brushes. They were, had interviewed him and on Sunday morning, and he had all these, all my sable brushes in cans right before him. And, you know, I looked at that and I thought, John, I hope you really clean them and wait until they dry before you put them in the can. So, you know, I know it's very easy for people, you know, get a coffee can, get a any kind of cup or anything like that. It's easy to store like that, but it's not necessarily great for the brush.
Okay.
It's still a problem.
I've seen people that they put them in these zippered pouches or they have these cloths where they put the brushes in and they roll them up. Is that a must for storing brushes?
Well, it's certainly better than putting it in anything plastic. I don't think there's anything wrong with putting it in fabric at all. Fabric is a breathable substance, so the brushes absolutely can breathe in that, and I think it's just fine. Also, I think they're a lot less prone to parasites, and I think it you know, unless you crunch the fabric in some way, but if you can put the roll with the brushes in it on a flat surface, that's great. Just don't put brushes in plastic pouches or plastic case or plastic boxes. There are a lot of storage containers, and they say they're for artist brushes, but there's no air going in them at all. So what happens is it traps the moisture in there, and you can get rot. You really can get rot, and it's not good for the handles. So before you put the brushes into, you know, one of those plastic holders, make sure they're completely dry. So if you say you're going from your studio to a class, you're a teacher or a student or whatever, and you have one of these nice art boxes that you have, if you want to use that, make sure your brushes are in something portable to take out, whether it's a storage case or one of these roll-ups or something like that, and get the brushes out of the case, because don't trap the moisture with the brush. It's really a really bad thing. It can really corrode the brush. It start chipping the handles. You could start having mildew on the head. plastic is our enemy in artist brushes.
Wow, great point. So if our audience wanted to say they listen to this and they want to see more, can they go to your website and do you have information about brush care?
Everything I just told you is also on our at silverbrush.com. It is under brush care, I believe. And you can just hook up to that and, you know, see me in action. I actually have a couple of videos where I'm demonstrating how to clean a brush, how to take care of brushes. and how to prolong the life of a brush. I don't think there's anything more important. I can say this. I am talking about a silver brush, and I know the quality of these brushes, and they are extraordinary quality. And you will pay a dollar or two more for the brushes, but I'm going to show you why the our brushes are worth that little bit more money. And by the way, it's not a whole big bunch of money. We're talking about dollars, not tens of dollars. And to me, if you're going to make the investment already in a really good artist brush, take the time to get a good quality brush and then take good care of it. And I tell you, you know, this lady bought her Grand Prix brush about 20 years ago. It's not unusual for us to have people come back and say, you know, you gave me some of these demo brushes years ago when I first created the brush, like 1995, I created Ruby Satin. I still have people using that Ruby Satin brush. And we know it because they just have funny numbers on the handles. It's not like it's got the real imprint. So it's, you know, if you take good care of it, it will last a lifetime. And, you know, everybody says things aren't made the way they used to be and all this other stuff. Well, at Silver Brush, we really believe in that. So we take a lot of time to create a really high, very, very high quality artist brush. We really do.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that you not only manufacture a great brush, but you have all of the tips necessary to ensure that that brush stays in pristine condition for a very, very long time. So, Dee, thank you so very much for doing this again. You've given our audience everything they need to know on how to prepare your brush, how to clean your brush, and how to preserve your brush. So, again, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Anytime.
You've been listening to Art Supply Insiders. Check back with us often as we talk about the world of art and craft supplies. If you like these podcasts, be sure and subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast provider. And we'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a review. If you'd like to show your support, please do consider joining our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/artsupplyinsiders. Now go out and create something.